listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
It is Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Steve Fezzik in for RJ Bell. You can check out the show on the iHeartRadio app and on all of our Fox Sports Radio affiliates, wherever you are taking part in the program as we approach 4th of July weekend. We appreciate a few minutes of your time here on FSR. As I mentioned, he is the man himself, Steve Fezzik. Go ahead, Fez. I can't do you justice here. I would like to give off all your credentials here on the air, but by the time I do so, we're going to hear We Are Fox Sports, and now we're on to The Odd Couple. So go ahead, list off all of your accomplishments, why anybody who ignores your betting advice or tips is an idiot. Go ahead, Steve Fezzik, please.
Two-time world champion, super contest, NFL handicapping contest, basically the sports equivalent of the World Series of Poker main event.
And you also finished in the top 20 World Series of Poker, if I'm not mistaken.
Not in the main event, but in an event, yes. I've cashed in about 4 World Series of Poker events.
All right. Well, we do have a live studio audience in attendance. A round of applause. They obviously are socially distancing. Everybody's got a mask on. They even have gloves. So a round of applause for Steve Fezzik. I told you I couldn't do it justice. I'm an idiot. I bet on everything, and I lose on everything. Steve Fezzik, he picks his spots, and he makes money at it, and he's the best in the world because of it. But, Fez, we have got all sorts of action that is ready to take place at the end of this month. And so now it feels like we hear these conversations all the time in the NBA. It's why the NBA becomes so petty. It's why the NBA has these debates about who's the GOAT and who's this. And it's why guys get into spats on Instagram. The conversation on sports talk radio and television when it comes to the NBA, it's like reading through a fight or a spat in high school. Somebody said something they didn't like, they feel disrespected, blah, 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 blah. But there's been this discussion about when the NBA resumes, is it going to have an asterisk? Is it going to be considered not a legitimate championship for the team that wins based on not having to play as many games and the fact that there was no real road game and so on and so forth? Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's one of these guys who has come to the defense of those who say that this is a legitimate championship, talking about how much more difficult it's going to be. Austin Rivers said the same exact thing, and you're hearing more and more players are sticking up for the idea of finishing this season, and whoever does win this championship is considered a legitimate championship. No asterisk, nothing. This is a legit title. Do you agree?
I strongly agree with the players here, and frankly, I am shocked that we even have to have this conversation, Jonas. Back in 1999, the Spurs won the NBA title. There was a lockout that year. They only played 60% of the games. 2011, the Heat won the title. Lockout, only 80% of the games. This year, we're going to play almost 90% of the games, and the season's been extended such that the players have had to stay in shape, be focused for almost a full year. Season started middle of October, and it's going to extend into October. So because of that, you could easily make the case that this is one of the hardest years to win the NBA title. No asterisk, shouldn't even be a discussion.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, and let's be honest, the little dirty little secret behind Sports Talk Radio, this is a brilliant setup for everybody involved, because not only are you going to have a champion, but you're going to have a legitimate conversation about why that champion shouldn't exist. All right, so this is, there's going to be so much meat on the bone for all of us when it comes to debating and going back and forth. But I would agree with you that whoever does win this, they're the champion. Everybody's dealing with the same crap. Everybody's going through a pandemic. Everybody's in a quarantine, in a bubble in Orlando. There's a talks of another one opening up in Chicago. So everybody's going through the same sort of things. But of all the years, and I just want to ask you this, because if there is no home game, of all the years that we could potentially see an upset, and the one thing about the NBA, and we've talked about it on this show, since the shot clock era, only one team lower than a four seed has actually won a championship, and it was the Rockets back in the mid-90s who were a six seed. So of all the years that we could see a lower-seeded team and one of the teams on the outside looking in at the top could actually come up and win a championship, wouldn't this be the year of all the years that that might happen, Fez?
Yes, and you nailed it. The problem with the six seeds and the seven seeds getting very far is that, boy, if you overachieve and you play a team evenly and it goes to that seventh game, that home court advantage so often will get you, Jonas, that if you've got two pretty equal teams, bottom line, the crowd will win game seven for the home team, and now we're not going to see that. No home crowd advantage for the better seeds this year.
Where did Vegas make a mistake or a possible mistake? Because the season hasn't played out, but could Vegas have made a mistake in how they've set these favorites moving forward based on the fact that we don't have a home game?
Possibly so, because we look at what the odds were back in March, and then everything changes, and now we reset and we look at the odds currently, and they really haven't moved hardly at all. And based upon the games being in Orlando, you would think, wow, much better puncher's chance for the inferior teams. And yet, if you look at the Lakers, you look at Milwaukee, you look at the Clippers, all three of those teams, those are the three favorites, the clear favorites, their odds are approximately the same, specifically Lakers plus 240, risk 100 to win 240, Milwaukee plus 285, Clippers plus 320. So you'd think all three of those teams would have a slightly less chance because no home court for them in the playoffs, and yet the odds have not adjusted.
So basically Vegas didn't account for the fact that, you know, everybody's been off for 4.5 effing months, and it's a pandemic, and we've got people pulling out of the playoffs and people not wanting to be a part of the bubble, and then you got other people talking about, well, how are we going to be able to, you know, get women inside the bubble if we want to keep ourselves entertained and we're not married, or at least we don't have company at that present time. So Vegas is ignoring all of that, and they're just going to roll with basically the same lines that we had 4.5 months ago.
Yeah, and to be clear, you know, Vegas sets the lines, but the bettors move the lines. So what's interesting is that even if Vegas wanted to keep the odds the same, if there was a big betting contingent that was supporting certain teams, then the odds would have to move, and we really have not seen any significant movement since March.
And so the favorites to watch again, same as before, the top three, top four teams to look out for that Vegas thinks have the best shots at winning this NBA championship, whatever we're going to call it, asterisk or not, those teams are who?
Yeah, Lakers, Milwaukee, Clippers, and interestingly, the number four team is the Houston Rockets. So the Rockets, I think, are 10th best in record, but many feel that the Rockets have a puncher's chance with all those threes, that if there's one team that could really benefit from a whole lot of variance in the playoffs in a wacky year, it could be the Rockets.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio, Jonas Knox, Steve Fezzik in for RJ Bell, in for RJ, obviously on vacation. He will be back coming up after the weekend here on FS. All right, so as we transition from that, Fez, we do have the bubble. All right, now, me personally, I would have preferred the snow globe, or I would have preferred the claw machine. Like, I feel like we could have done something different than the bubble, but nonetheless, this is what we've got. That's the idea they came up with, so we roll with it. So we do have the bubble. It starts at the end of the month, and everybody's going to be reporting, and we're going to all be playing these games, and they're going to be on courts next to each other. It's basically going to be a glorified AAU tournament. But if we're looking at the teams on the outside, the teams that aren't already in the postseason, the teams that need to really do some damage in order to become a playoff team, you've identified one team that, regardless of what this non-home court advantage looks like, there is one team, they are in the Western Conference, who has a clear advantage to try and make a run. Who is it?
Yes, New Orleans. Now, I'm not going to say that the NBA is biased and they want Zion to get into the playoffs, Jonas, but I did a schedule analysis and I looked at the eight opponents that you have and how good those opponents currently are by my power ratings. And it is shocking to me what a cupcake schedule New Orleans has. Their schedule, Jonas, it is an easier schedule than randomly playing against average NBA teams. Not average of the 22 teams that are in Orlando. I'm including the Clevelands and the Knicks and the like. This, by a wide margin, New Orleans has the easiest schedule.
Okay, so you don't want to come out and say that the NBA might have doctored this a little bit for the Pelicans to make a run and for Zion to possibly meet up with LeBron in the first round of the playoffs. Are you saying that you're not comfortable saying that on national radio?
I'm comfortable saying that. Okay. And, you know, look no further than when the bubble opens up, first game, the Utah Jazz are playing, not exactly a sexy team. Who are they playing? Oh, the New Orleans Pelicans are chosen to be the very first game back. It's all about Zion, the future of the NBA.
I mean, are Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, are they going to fist bump? Or are they still mad at each other because no one can prove which one gave the other one coronavirus? Are we still having that debate? What a dumb story that was, the NBA media churned up. My God. I mean, let's break down a cornhole tournament while we're at it, for Christ's sakes. Why are we talking about who gave who the disease when nobody has proof either way? What are we talking about, Fez?
If we can bet on it, I'll bet cornhole.
Okay,
absolutely.
I agree. Let me tell you, and I would bet on me. I'm actually really good at cornhole. But then listen, some people call it bags. They call it beanbag toss. They call it whatever. And I'm sure the people in the back are already saving that sound drop because it sounded inappropriate. We move on from that, though. What goes into your analysis? When you look at this and you're breaking down, all right, here we are. We're playing in the bubble. We don't have a home court advantage. What goes into your analysis to say New Orleans is clearly a team that has an advantage down the stretch to try and make a run for that eight spot?
Well, I look at their opponents and I look at how good are they right now. I don't care what their record is. All that matters is what's the strength of the team. So they open up against Utah, and most people would say, hey, Utah, they're better than New Orleans, but they're not right now. You nailed it. There's been all kinds of chemistry issues with the infamous Gobert press conference and the COVID then that got spread. And because of that, you've got a situation where Utah is a team that is not nearly as strong as they've been year to date. And because of that, if you just looked at a normal strength of schedule looking at Utah's record, that would overestimate how difficult that game is. Utah's barely better than an average team right now.
So on the flip side of that, Utah's got the easiest path to make a run at the playoffs. Which team do you think has the hardest, based on your analysis, heading into the bubble?
Yeah, New Orleans with the easiest path of the teams that aren't in the top eight seeds. Portland got dealt a horrible hand here. Portland, the third most difficult schedule. And here's what's interesting to me, Jonas. Here's a Portland team where Damon Lillard was already saying, hey, I don't really want to go to Orlando unless we have a legitimate chance to make the playoffs. Well, they still have a legitimate chance. However, I could see with the schedule, Portland quickly losing interest in the bubble if they start out, say, 1-3. That's a team potentially I'll be looking to bet against. And frankly, as difficult a schedule as Portland has, I think that that is likely to happen.
And also, when we're talking about just seeding purposes, where, you know, if you're a team that's looking to still maintain a higher seed, you think that a team out in the Eastern Conference might have themselves a little bit of a difficult task.
Yeah, so you've got Boston and Toronto fighting for the number two seed. Toronto's three games ahead of Boston. There's only eight games, so it looks like Toronto's probably going to get it. And then you look at the strength of schedule, and what's this? The baby dinosaurs have the hardest schedule in Orlando. So suddenly that three-game lead over Boston looks a little bit less of a lock for them to get that number two seed. And by the way, Boston has the third easiest schedule, so I would not be shocked to see Boston catch Toronto. And why is that important? There's no home court advantage, but getting the two seed in the East, so much better than the three seed. You want to play Philadelphia as the three seed, or do you want to play a team like Orlando as the two seed?
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will get into history. We are actually all a part of history in the world of sports. We will have that for you here coming up momentarily here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell. And before we get to this history-making opportunity in the world of sports, as we do every single day at this time, it is to find out what the weather is on the Strip in Las Vegas. And in for RJ Bell, replacing him for momentarily here today and through as long as RJ is on vacation. It is our weather correspondent, Stephen Fezzik, who is standing inside the mouth of the MGM Grand Lion out in front of the hotel and casino. Steve, what is the latest there from the Strip?
Yeah, each and every day we bring the excitement of Vegas to you. It's 100 degrees and the neon is pulsing.
My God, it's 100 degrees on the Strip. Jesus.
Yeah, it's a cool day today.
You know what? Can I just tell you this story? I remember this. This is the first time I ever went to Las Vegas. You know that little walkway as you go from, what are the casinos that are connected? It's Excalibur, it's MGM Grand, it's Luxor, and then isn't there a fourth one that's also connected?
New York, New York.
That's right. So I remember coming out of like New York, New York, one of them, but there's that walkway where you cross over the bridge, over the street to go into the other casino. And I just remember it was so hot out that it was at night and there was the big screen that was showing all the different things that were coming up, like, you know, Siegfried and Roy and all these other, you know, artists and events and magicians that were coming up. And then I just remember the heat from the screen hitting my face, and I immediately started to sweat as I walked into one of the casinos. It is so, I don't think people realize how hot it gets there sometimes at night on the Strip, Fez. But I mean, that's the last time I was sober there. So,
and I tell you what, those walkways, Jonas, talk about a cross section of society. You've got gamblers walking around with $1,000 chips. You've got entertainers, maybe in Mickey Mouse, all the way to Las Vegas showgirls and the homeless, all in one area.
It is. That's actually a very good point. Yeah, all food groups are represented in society when it comes to those walkways on the Las Vegas Strip. Now, Fez, we mentioned history here on Straight Out of Vegas. So we were talking about the NBA. And although people look at the NBA and say, well, you know, it's a shortened season, you know, it should be an asterisk, and this shouldn't be considered a real NBA champion, and we disagree, and you got Giannis who has spoken about it, Austin Rivers has spoken about it. On the flip side of that, you got Major League Baseball. 60 games. You've got Rob Manfred saying that the reality was they were just going to have 60-game season anyways. He comes out with that the latest. Rob Manfred, who's, by the way, the only thing missing from him over the last couple of months is a unicycle and some bowling pins that he can juggle, because it has been a disaster for him from a PR standpoint. But you got Rob Manfred saying that. So while we don't consider this NBA champion to be an asterisk next to it, what are we thinking when we look at Major League Baseball here?
Boy, I think you can make a case for, I think you got to put an asterisk by MLB, Jonas, and historical precedent. We went back and looked at the major leagues, and what's the fewest percentage of games that were played in all the major sports? So in the NFL in 1982, Washington Redskins went 8-1. That was 56% of the schedule. The Spurs won in the NBA in 1999. That was just over 60%. And the Dodgers in 1981 played 65%. Well, all those numbers were well above 50%. And now we're looking at an MLB season with only 37%. So instead of being above half of the games expected to be played, just a little over a third. And to put this in precedent, take a look at the Dodgers. They're the clear-cut best team along with the Yankees. The Dodgers are supposed to win 38.5 games. An average MLB team, Joe average, only 30. So there's only an 8.5 game disparity between an average MLB team this year versus the very best team. Think about how many games the Yankees and Dodgers would have been expected to win against an average team over the course of a 162-game season.
This is, in essence, I mean, it's not exact math, but this would be the equivalent to an NFL team playing 6 games in a season. Like, it's right about there, correct?
Yeah, and so think
about, in a 16-game season. That's crazy.
Yeah, think about what a small sample that is, and Chiefs wouldn't be winning the Super Bowl with the 6-game season, etc. Yes.
I mean, yeah, that's crazy. So here we are. And look, this is one of those stats that always gets thrown around in the NFL that, you know, since I want to say the last 10 to 12 years or whatever it was, a team that starts 0-2 in the regular season, that team makes the playoffs at about 10% of the time. So if we're doing that math and we're just doing the comparable here between an NFL season that would look like this MLB season, a team that starts 2-0 is a heavy favorite to get to the postseason if they were only playing a six-game NFL season, which is the equivalent to what Major League Baseball has had, which is why the start this season could mean everything when it comes to what the postseason could look like, who's going to actually be in the playoffs when the playoffs do arrive in Major League Baseball, because now a three-game losing streak that we look at is, they just had a rough weekend or they were out partying. A three-game losing streak could be catastrophic to one team's chance at trying to make a run at a World Series. So with all that being said, what bets out there that were out there before what we thought was going to be a full season that are completely dead? Are there bets out there that have been completely wiped off the board just based on the fact that this season has been shortened down so much?
Yes. So season win bets are the bets that pros love to make. And I got to be honest, Jonas, I had some really good ones. When the Yankees got hit with the injury bug and everyone was going down for them, I had the Yankees under 102.5 season wins.
Yeah.
That's been wiped clear, and the Yankees got a whole lot healthier in the meantime, so all those season win bets are null and void.
Yeah, let's just be honest here, if we're going to peel back the curtain. When Aaron Judge went down and he was going to be out longer than anticipated early before the season, you were pumping your fists in the studio because you had the under on Yankee win totals. Let's just be honest here.
Oh,
Aaron Judge is your Mr. Potato Head. You'll pull off an eyebrow. You'll pull off a foot. Like, you don't care as long as you make money off it.
It was almost like my personal Yankees voodoo doll that Paxton got hurt, and I was celebrating that. It was like literally every 3 days, good news. I mean, bad news was coming in for the Yankees. Good news for my bet. Yes.
Absolutely. That's all that matters around here. Now, what bets are still alive? Are there bets out there that even though the season has been shorted, are there bets there that are still alive? We're going to get into the new win totals and what that could possibly look like, but are there bets that were placed maybe before the season that teams or that bettors out there may actually have a shot at hitting when it comes to this season only being 60 games?
Yeah, so if you bet a team to win the World Series or to win the pennant, as long as they crown a winner in those, you continue to have action on those bets placed before March. Yes.
God, this is crazy. This is going to be insane. All right, so Steve Fezzik, Jonas Knox, in for RJ Bell here on Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Now, we talked about the shortened season. Win totals are out the window. You would love to celebrate the fact that the Yankees were going to go under on their win total, but that's been null and void. They've completely wiped that out. You cannot win those bets. But here we are. Every team is playing 60 games. And you actually have, even though we've never seen this before, it's history, as we said and we teased and we talked about, that the low number of games to actually be considered a full season. Here we are. You actually have a guideline on how to bet these new win totals that have come in based on the 60-game season.
Yes, and the guideline is the new schedule calls for the West plays the West, the Central plays the Central, the East plays the East. And because of that, each one of those regions should have an average season win number of 30, half of the 60-game schedule when you look at all the teams. But that's not the case, Jonas. If you look at the season wins, both the West and the East, the numbers are juiced a little bit. The average season win number in the East is 30.25, and in the West, 30.5. Now, the Central, which doesn't have as many good teams, it's only 29.5. And because of that, all these should have to sum to 30. It's just a mathematical certainty because they just play each other. And so if you're looking to make good bets, what you want to do, my guidelines, is look to play teams in the West and in the East to go under their season win total, and look for teams in the Central to go over their season win totals.
Now, okay, so is that just based on what all goes into that? Because I know you're talking about just where, you know, these may be inflated, but what all goes into that? Is that travel? Because I've heard the thought that Central teams don't have to travel as far because those cities are closer to each other. And Nick Swisher was on Fox Sports Radio last week talking about this, how, look, when you're in the Central, you don't travel as far because those cities are just closer in proximity. So is part of that being factored into this, or are you looking at something else?
I believe what the odds makers did is they looked at what the season win numbers were to start the year, and then they went ahead and just went pro rata and said, hey, it's 60 games instead of 162, so I'll multiply by that fraction to get the updated expected wins. assuming all the teams have the same win percentage, and where they didn't make an adjustment is that if you were in the Central, you didn't want to be playing East and West games in general, right? Because those games were a little bit more difficult. Now you don't have to. So every team that's in the Central, their schedule effectively got a little bit easier, and every team in the West and East, their schedules got harder.
That's interesting. So this is another example of maybe Vegas doing what they did in the NBA, where they've just got the favorites as being the same favorites even before the after the pandemic and all that's happened over the past 4.5 months. So even Vegas, seeing everything that's gone on in Major League Baseball, they just basically did simple math and didn't really take the time to look any deeper than that.
Exactly right. So if you have a strong opinion on a team in the East and the West that you think is going to have a bad year, this is probably a really good wager to bet against that specific team in the East or West.
There it is. Steve Fezzik, Jonas Knox here on Straight Out of Vegas. Speaking of Major League Baseball, Steve Fezzik does have a money-making opportunity at the end of the show, a best bet, your chance to make a little bit of coin. We will get to that here coming up in about 20 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, though, Steve Fezzik completely disagrees with something that is going on in the NFL. There is a list out there in the NFL. We need to get to this list. We need to attack this list, and we will do so violently here on Fox Sports Radio. That is next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations. In-store or curbside, visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone coming up here in about 12 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. As we mentioned, Steve Fezzik has a best bet, your chance to make some money in Major League Baseball. Nobody else has got this. Steve Fezzik does. We'll have that for you coming up 12 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. So, Fez, sometimes there's these lists that come out. And when we started doing this show a while back, one of the segments that we came up with was a little something called Pros Versus the World. And so whenever there's a list that comes out and you vehemently disagree with one aspect of this list, we have to approach it and we have to attack it. And sometimes things get a little bit dirty. So without further ado, it's time for the latest edition of a little something we do on Straight Out of Vegas called this.
It's the Pros Versus the World.
All right, Fez, so here we go. Pros Versus the World. It is CBS's latest rankings when it comes to the top coaches in the NFL. And you disagree with one of these coaches, Fez. Which one is it?
Yeah, it's Mike Zimmer. CBS Sports has Zim, the number 10 coach in the NFL. Jonas, in Zimmer we trust. I have Mike Zimmer, my number 4 coach in the NFL, and it's all about exceeding expectations. And how does a team exceed expectations? Against the spread record. So Zimmer, over 100 games coached. Vikings have covered 62% of the games under Zimmer. He is a coach that consistently overachieves, and he is my number 4 coach versus CBS, who has him way too low at number 10.
Is there a sort of a, I don't know if there's an average coach or a coach that Vegas considers just kind of, you know, one that's, you know, middle of the road, that this is where you kind of, you know, separate better coaches. Is there sort of a breaking point as to how much coaches are worth? Is there a coach, you know, below that? Like, how do you look at this and which coaches are worth the most when it comes to the NFL and looking at these games moving forward?
Yeah, a whole lot of coaches are in the middle that really aren't worth very much. You can think about Reich or Vrabel, guys like that, that are, you know, maybe just slightly better than an average coach. But the bottom line is the elite NFL coaches, they're worth something, but not nearly as much as you would expect to the point spread. In fact, Bill Belichick is worth 3 points in my numbers because he's my number 1 coach. But if you look at all the other coaches, no coach in the NFL other than Belichick is worth more than 1.5 points to the point spread.
So that's crazy. So Belichick, you can actually just, if you just see Bill Belichick's name next to a game, you do have to factor in his name next to that game more so than any other coach in the NFL.
Yeah, well, it's already factored into the point spread, and frankly, that's why the Patriots have had such success. And Belichick's number two to Zimmer. He covers 57% of the time. And think about how amazing that is. The Patriots are an ultra-hyped public team that the public bets on, and despite that, Belichick has found a way to cover 57 out of every 100 games he's coached.
And now, truth be told here, Fez wanted to talk about which coach in the NFL was worth the least. I wasn't comfortable with that. I feel like there's enough negativity out there in the world today. It's a pandemic. There's all sorts of things going on. I just wanted to keep everybody upbeat heading into the 4th of July weekend. So, Fez, as much as I know you want to scratch that itch, and as much as I know you want to step on the throat of which coach in the NFL you think is worth the least, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's the right thing to do as we head into a 4th of July weekend. We need to put smiles on people's faces and cash in their back pocket. I don't think we need to attack coaches on the air. I know you want to do it. I'm not comfortable with it.
You're trying to bait me into it.
I'm just saying, I'm not comfortable with it, Fez.
The truth be told is oftentimes when the rookie coaches come in, they're at the very bottom. And so maybe Matt Rhule will surprise. But I'm not going to name anybody that might really struggle.
Listen, I mean, we'll save all the insults and everything, maybe for tomorrow when we talk about that slob Joey Chestnut and the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. And I'll explain why I don't like that guy. All right. But that being said, it's not like Fez doesn't have his own list. So as much as CBS has their list of their top coaches in the NFL, Fez, you have got your own list. Coaches in the NFL, we're going to start at number 5, count it all the way down to 1. Let's get it. Fez, we even got professional imaging for you. Again, everybody's socially distancing, but we've got professional imaging for you. So here we go. Let's start it off, and let's start at the bottom.
Number 5.
Baltimore, John Harbaugh. What a great job he did last year. You know, people forget the Ravens' season win number was right around 8 last year, and they won 14 games. Fantastic job exceeding expectations. Harbaugh, number 5.
Number 4.
Minnesota, Mike Zimmer. We talked about him. All he does is cover a Vegas darling secret. The wise guys love to bet on Zimmer, who covers 62% of the time.
Number 3.
New Orleans, Sean Payton. You know, Payton just keeps doing a better and better job. 13 wins the last 2 years for the Saints. And frankly, under Payton, the Saints have never had what I'd consider to be a really bad year. They're locked to win 7 or more games each and every year under Sean Payton.
Number 2.
Kansas City, Andy Reid. All right, Andy Reid drives some of the analytic guys crazy with some of his decisions, but the number one knock on him was that he couldn't win the big game, and he disproved all of that. Mahomes got injured last year. Tyreek Hill got injured. Chiefs still won the Super Bowl. Andy Reid, number 2.
Number 1.
The genius, Bill Belichick. He belongs there, and I got to really hand it to Belichick. Since he turned 60, he has won 76% of the games he's coached. Contrast that with all the other great Hall of Fame coaches. They win just over half, Jonas. So that's how great Belichick has been. And just nonstop innovations. Every coach in the NFL, just by example, defers when they win the coin toss. Guess who implemented that first? Well, that was Belichick, and it's correct to do so. I won't go into details as to why.
Okay, so that is your list. All right, so that is Fez's top 5 list, and we will clarify a couple of things on that list so people don't get it confused, because sometimes people have a hard time listening, because who knows? People are already at happy hour, and they're trying to get an early start to the weekend. But that being said, Belichick, and that bears repeating, since he turned 60 years old, he's won 76% of his games.
Like, man does not age.
That's crazy. So just so people have an understanding, every 4 times the Patriots suit up when Belichick turns 60 years old, they're winning 3 of those 4 games.
Yes.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And so I don't know if that's, you know, how much that has to do with, you know, Tom Brady, and he started to also perform well when Belichick turned 60, but that is a crazy number. And then here's the other thing. If this list starts to circulate, because sometimes people have a hard time deciphering best coaches as opposed to what we're looking at, you're looking at this from a Vegas approach, right? This is coaches against the spread and coaches that you look at as having a value based on you being a professional better.
Exactly right. So an example would be in my top 10 is McDermott for Buffalo, and a lot of people don't have him in the top 10. But certainly, you look at when you got the Bills and you get them into the playoffs 2 out of 3 years, you're doing something very right.
Totally agree. And also, from the standpoint of being in your top five, some people may look at Mike Zimmer in your top five and say, Mike Zimmer, what has he done in Minnesota? But again, this is from a Vegas standpoint, and Vegas looks at things different, which is why, as it's been mentioned many times on the show, you've got a mansion and a yacht and who knows what else. And everybody else is out there, you know, with their thumb on the side of the road trying to catch a ride over to the Strip. I mean, that's this is how things work. So that is Steve Fezzik's top five, according to Vegas, top five coaches in the NFL. Steve Fezzik, Jonas Knox here on Fox Sports Radio, in for RJ Bell. You can check out this show on the iHeartRadio app.